Hey everyone, this is Punk News editor Ricky Frankel. I'm finally back with another podcast interview. This time I talked with Thomas Whitty, guitarist of the UK band Natterers. You may remember that he and lead vocalist Emma Grubb called into episode 350 for a quick interview, and that I played some of their songs on the Roundtable discussion episodes in the past. The band released their first full-length called Head and Threatening Attitude on October 5th through Boss Tunage Records, and it is easily one of the best hardcore records to come out this year. Thomas and I talked about some of the songs on the record, the band's recent lineup change, the important punk icon that mastered the album, and more. Before we get started, I want to thank Punk News, especially Alvin Paul, Adam White, and John Gentile for the platform to do these interviews. Thanks to Brian Priest of Paris for the awesome theme song, and thanks to my brother Andrew for helping me edit these all together. And finally, if you want to find out more about Natterers, they are in my upcoming book titled I'm Outta Here, which you can pre-order at imoutofherebook.com. That should be out relatively soon. Before we get to the interview, let's listen to a song from Natterers' new album, Head and Threatening Attitude. Here is Appetite for Distraction by Natterers. Enjoy. Guitarist Thomas Whitty of Natterers, all the way in the UK. Thomas, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice. I think you were on episode 350 with us, so I'm sure longtime listeners are somewhat familiar with your voice. So welcome back, if anything.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. So yeah, not a problem. So you have Natterers finally have their first full length out. It's called Head and Threatening Attitude, which was out on October 5th through Boss Tunage Records. And it's fantastic. My review should be up by now, or whenever this goes up, we'll see. Let's just jump into it. Can you explain the title of the album, Head and Threatening Attitude? It's an interesting name. What's the story behind it?
Well, the thing, without boring you too much, the thing that happened was basically we found some pictures of some Natterers bats. I don't know if people will be aware, but Natterers is a species of bats that we commonly get here in the UK. And what happened was we were searching through images for Natterers bats, just for artwork for the first cassette, for the demo. And what happened was we found an old Victorian image and it had a picture of two bat heads on it. And one was a bat in normal attitude, and the second one was the head in threatening attitude. So what happened was Emma really liked the sound of that title. So we just kind of came full circle, and when Emma thought we'd use it as some context, and we ended up calling the album that.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, what does a bat look like when it's in threatening attitude like that?
Well, if you've seen the front cover of the LP, it's the bat on the right-hand side. So I suppose by now the album will be up online. So yeah, it's the bat on the right-hand side. You can see it's a bit more aggressive, possibly. Yeah, that's it on the right-hand side.
Okay, cool. Now, the band went to France to record the album. Why did you decide to go to a whole different country to record it?
Well, we were struggling to find somewhere that we liked the sound of a record that, you know, that had come out of that studio. And without being disparaging to other studios in the UK, we were just struggling to get the sound that we would want from a record. And I'm not sure if you're aware of the band Youth Avoiders. They're actually a band from Paris. And their record, their new record that came out, was recorded in France with Guillaume, which is at Swan Sound Studios. And it just sounded amazing. And I just thought, yeah, we've got to go there. So yeah, we just got on the ferry, went over there and recorded. It was great.
Very cool. I noticed on the album that you decided to re-record Defiance again for it. And for those who don't know, that song is on Natter's first demo called Demo 16. Why did you decide to record that song for the album and include it in there?
It's a strange one, really, because I didn't really want to go back and record another song, but as we'll get to at some point, we had a bit of a lineup change, and it's always been one of my favourite songs to play live, and it's just got a lot of energy, and I thought, well, with the new rhythm section, it'd sound really cool, so we just got it done again. I think it's a welcome addition to the album, and it's probably one of my favourite songs probably ever written, to be honest, so...
Yeah, it fits right in with the album as a whole, so I would agree. Mm-hmm. And you guys did a good job on it.
Yeah.
Now, your guitar style is pretty distinct. You have all these kind of like surf-esque riffs with definitely West Coast hardcore influence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're and really incredibly powerful chord progressions, too. Yeah. How did you develop this guitar style, and were there any like punk guitarists that sort of influenced you in that sense?
I think, to be honest, it's just fairly obvious. It's East Bay Ray, it's Rick Agnew from the First Adolescent stuff, and probably Ron Emery from TSOL as well. I'd say Johnny Marr as well. I know you're not a Smiths fan, but it's that jangly, you know, that I like that intricate guitar work. I think that's what sets a lot of these bands up apart from other stuff, especially in the early 80s stuff. You know, I like to hear something different, not just power chords over and over. It's nice to hear a riff, and it's nice to hear something different going on.
Yeah, I think that's what sets your band apart from most hardcore bands. It's more than just, you know, three or four chords and screaming. So it works
exactly.
Well. Like you mentioned, the band recently went through a pretty substantial lineup change. How did that affect the writing of Head and Threatening Attitude?
Massively affected it. Beforehand, it was mostly a case of me bringing the songs and then other people just kind of playing along to them. There was little bits of input, but there was never a massive input. But when we got Rob and Dave in, it was a total change. I mean, Dave's been in bands for 20 years. Rob, you know, been in band in 8. It changed it massively. They brought their own ideas, definitely different styles, and there was still three or four songs to write for the record when they joined the band. So they both brought new ideas, and Rob brought a couple of songs which are actually on the album, so it's cool to have, you know, it's cool to have help really with the songs, and you get someone else's style, which I think's always a good thing.
For sure. Now, this was one of the coolest aspects of the record, and I did not expect this. Geza X, who produced for bands like the Dead Kennedys and Black Flag, he mastered the record. How did you even get in touch with him to master it? How else did he contribute to the album? Did he give you any sort of advice and feedback when he first heard the record?
Well, the first instance in which I knew he was actually mastering records or even having anything to do with records still today was, I don't know if you know the band Tarantula.
I don't.
They're a really, really cool band. They put out a few records on Deranged. their EPs were mastered by Geyser, and my friend got in contact with me and said, you should definitely ask him to, you know, see if he'd be interested in doing your record. And we got in contact with him. He said he'd be interested in doing it. And then when he heard it, he was pretty complimentary. Yeah. I don't want to blow smoke up my own ass. Yeah, he was really complimentary, and he did add a lot to it. It's made it, it sounds big, but I still think it sounds like a punk record. You know, it doesn't sound too, you know, clean cut.
Right. Yeah, I think you guys hit that just right. Now this was interesting, and you pointed this out to me in our Twitter DMs. Why end the record with a cover of theme song by Flyboys? And why did you choose to cover an instrumental? Musically, it fits pretty well with Natter's surf hardcore sound.
Well, even before the other guys joined, I always wanted to do a cover, probably a surf cover. Like, I mean, if you think of JFA, Agent Orange, they've always had like a surf instrumental on there. So I thought, you know, that'd be cool to do. But when Dave and Rob joined, they were a bit on edge about doing a cover of an instrumental, but we kind of just thought, we'll try Flyboys and see how it goes, and we ended up putting it into the set, and it went from there. But in terms of where it lands on the album, we didn't know if we wanted it to end side one or end side two, but I think we just went for it to end side two. It's kind of like an ending to the album, and yeah, I think it, like you said, I think it does work pretty well.
Cool. Yeah, I think so too. And was Emma cool with an instrumental?
Yeah, it's funny really, because she's a bit bored of us playing it live now, because she doesn't really know what to do with herself. But yeah, that'll probably change.
All right, cool. No, I mean, we hear a lot about bands like in London for the most part. And I was wondering, what is the punk scene like in Yorkshire? And for those who don't know, where exactly is Yorkshire in England?
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, like you said, you probably do hear more about the London bands, I suppose, with being the capital, it's like anywhere, really, but to be honest with you, I'm not that familiar with a lot of bands in Yorkshire. I mean, when we recruited Rob and Dave, they're actually based even further north of England, so Yorkshire's North England, and Dave and Rob are actually from towards Newcastle area. I don't know if that means anything to you, but yeah, they're actually based a lot further north, so I don't know if you could call us a Yorkshire band anymore, but I suppose we've got to be based somewhere. But yeah, I mean, punk in Yorkshire, I couldn't really say, to be honest. I mean, a lot of the gigs we play, they do tend to be with out-of-town bands, or even, you know, the American bands touring, so it's not a massive scene at the moment, but there are a lot of gigs going on. But again, like you say, it does tend to be in London.
Okay. So Thomas, I mean, thanks so much for doing this. I know it's somewhat late over there, and it's only
it's only
4:30 here. So, in LA. I don't want to keep you too much longer. Do you have anything else you would like to add? What does the future hold for Natters?
Well, this week, actually, we're going to Iceland, playing a couple of gigs in Reykjavik. And then after that, we're going to France, and we're actually going to record again, which should be cool. So I think we're going to do a single.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we'll be doing a single, probably be out New Year sometime. And hopefully we'll be getting over to the US in March. So yeah, that'll be great.
Yes. I you know, for as much as I champion you guys on the site, I still have yet to see you. So I hope you guys can make that happen. Thomas, again, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Why don't you play a song from the new record to get us out of here?
Okay, I'm going to go for So Much More.
All right, you heard him. Here it is.